without the Mamakomas. The Mamakomas will come in the middle. Apologize. Okay, ready? Here is the memory of Chaim Abba ben Yosef Yehuda. I'm going to try to begin some of the halachas concerning tefillin. We'll try to break down the year into the different sugyas that appear in Masechet Menachos concerning tefillin and sittis and mezuzah and sefer Torah. The first unit that we'll do will hopefully be the inyanim of tefillin. We really want to break down tefillin itself into two distinct categories. One is concerning the object of tefillin, the chepts of tefillin itself, including the batim and the ritzuos and the parshios. And the second half of the tefillin will be the mitzvah of tefillin, in the sense of where one puts on tefillin, how one puts on tefillin, when one puts on tefillin, things of that nature. So when we begin talking about the chepts of tefillin per se, so we know, of course, that tefillin are made up of three distinct components. There's the batim, there's the parshios, and the ritzuos. Tonight we're going to start to speak first primarily about the parshios. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Menachos that it's quite obvious which parshas in the Chumash belong in the parshas of tefillin. You just look at the Chumash itself. The Chumash says, "Kshatam yosa yadecha." The Torah says you have to tie these words onto your arm and put these words on the beinecha. So these words are referring to those particular parshas where the mitzvah of tefillin is found. So the mitzvah of tefillin, of course, is found in four places. It's found in parshas Kaddish and parshas Vayakav Yacha, which appear in the end of parshas Bo, and then once again in the parshas of Shema and the parshas of Vayab Shema. So it's obvious that there are four parshas that belong in the tefillin, both in tefillin Shoyad and in tefillin Shorosh. What's not so obvious is the correct order of how these parshas are supposed to be placed in the tefillin. And the Gemara tells us in Masechas Menachos in the third parak that it's absolutely critical that the parshas be placed in the right order. The only thing the Gemara seems to say clearly, which we'll see as the Shia goes on, even that may be subject to question, but the only thing about the order of the parshas that the Gemara seems to say is just absolutely critical is that if you goof on the order, imhechle parshas sef psulos, that if you do them out of order, so then you're up the creek. Then the tefillin are considered parshas to be pasul min haTorah. We'll see whether that's 100% muskim or not. So it's absolutely critical to know what the correct order of is. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which discusses the issue. And after all the dust settles, you read through the whole sugya. Hopefully, by the time the Maamar Kamos comes, we'll be able to read through the sugya together. Now we're doing it out of order. Usually, you read the Maamar Kamos first, then I elaborate. So now I'll elaborate first, and afterwards we'll plug it into the Maamar Kamos. So we'll see which style we like better. So the Gemara tells us in Masechas Menachos, quoting a Braisa, which seems to address what the order of the parashas is supposed to be. And at the end of the day, it's unclear what the Maskana Seh Gemara was. So there were really four distinct opinions in the Rishonim. What is the correct order of the Hanachas HaParshas? We're going to speak first and foremost about the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because of the basic distinction between Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad, being that Tefillin Shel Yad, the Parshas are written on one long piece of cloth. Those who've seen the inside of Tefillin will know that. And the Parshas of Shel Rosh are written on four distinct pieces of cloth, which is, of course, put into each of the four sub-compartments of the Sabbatim. So the first thing that the way the Rishonim discussed is concerning Tefillin Shel Rosh, and we're going to extrapolate whether there are any differences between Shel Rosh and Shel Yad. So concerning the Tefillin Shel Rosh, so the Gemara says, yeah, you have to write the four parashiyos, and it's critical that they be in the order. And what exactly is the order? So the way Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara Masechas Menachos, which is not only Rashi's Pshat, but the Rambam's Pshat also, and a whole group of other Rishonim, but it's usually called Rashi's Pshat, as we know, of course, Rashi's Tefillin, which says in Abbatim, it says Rashi's Tefillin. So Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara comes out really the most straight, simple, straightforward Pshat in the Gemara. You have to put in four parashas into the tefillin, so it makes sense that the four parashas should be put in order. What does it mean in order? The order is the way they appear in the Chumash. So Rashi says, so you just open up the Sefer Torah and find the order of the parashas. So the first parasha is Kaddish, the second parasha is Vayakiv Yacha, the third parasha is Shema, and that's what appears in parashas Vaschanon, and the fourth parasha is Vayom Shemo, which appears in parashas Ekev. So it says Rashi, it's very poshut, so you put them in that order. Kesed HaKesuvim HaTorah. Not a tremendous surprise. Although, even according to Rashi, you need a little bit of a biur. Well, in which way do you put them? Do you put them from right to left? Do you put them from left to right? So the way Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara, it comes out as follows, that the Gemara uses a phrase, that kare kare kesidron, that in theory, if a person would have x-ray vision, they were standing opposite you, and they would be able to read the parashiyos, the way Lashon HaKodesh is read, from right to left. So the person who would be standing opposite you would be reading the Lashon HaKodesh, so he would first, if he would open up your first bias, so he would read Kaddish, then he would get the Vayakiv Yacha, then he would get the Shema, and then he would get the Vayom Shema. So according to Rashi, everything is Gevaldik. The parashas are Munachos Kesidron HaKesuvim BaTorah, which is exactly what we would have expected the parashas to be put. And number two, how do you determine, is it Keseda from the point of view of the Meniach, or from the point of view of the Korei. So the Gemara uses the phrase that Korei, Korei Kesedron. So Rashi interprets that to mean that you view everything from the vantage point of the Korei. So the person who's standing opposite the person who's wearing the tefillin can open up the tefillin and literally read them from right to left. The Keseda Haksuvu Batara. This is the simplest pshat in the Gemara. Rashi's pshat and the Rambam's pshat, and hopefully we'll see the correct pshat. That's at least what we're praying for. That's the correct pshat. Came along a group of other Rishonim and said that that's not the case. Now this second group of Rishonim, we call today Rabbeinu Tam Shita, but this is by no means only Shita's Rabbeinu Tam. This was an opinion that there were Gaonim already hundreds of years before Rabbeinu Tam was subscribed to. There were Rishonim who were contemporaries of Rabbeinu Tam, those before and those after him, who also followed the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. The reason why it's become Rabbeinu Tam, known as Rabbeinu Tam, is twofold. First, Rabbeinu Tam was had quite a stature in terms of Psach Halacha, and number two, Rabbeinu Tam's on the page in Taisus Maseches Menachos, quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, so they became known in Halacha as Rabbeinu Tam's film. So the Mashalim of Adoma, like we speak about Rabbeinu Tam's man, the 72 minutes after Shkir, Rabbeinu Tam's man. Rabbeinu Tam was not the only person held by that by any stretch of the imagination. There were many, many Rishonim who followed the quote-unquote Rabbeinu Tam's man. But Rabbeinu Tam, he was the one who became somehow, he was Zeich and Shemayim, that should be called his Shita. So to the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin are known in Halacha today as Shita's Rabbeinu Tam. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the order, what's the Seidat Dvarim in terms of the Parshas of tefillin? So Rabbeinu Tam says, very simple, you start with Kaddish, the same as Rashi, you know, Miyaminha, from the point of view of the Korei. So the person who's standing in front of you opens up your batim and reads Kaddish first. So far, so good. Then he reads Vayakivi Yacha, also so far, so good. But now everything turns upside down. Comes a Rabbeinu Tam and says, he then reads the Hayoim Shamoa, and then and only then is the Parsha of Shema. So a very small flip that whereas according to Rashi, Shema is Parsha number 3 and Vayoim Shamoa is Parsha number 4, which is the way we would have expected it to be. According to Rabbeinu Tam, no, that's absolutely not true. That you have Kadesh, Vayakiv Yacha, the Hayoim Shamoa, and then Shema. The Rishonim say, in case you're going to forget how to remember this, because after all, it's strange. Rashi, you don't need a PhD to remember Rashi's pshat. It's obvious. It's just Seidak Suma Torah. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, how are you ever going to remember the order? So the Rishonim coined the phrase Havayas LaHadadi, that the two parshas that start with the same word, V'haya ki v'yachah parshas bo, and V'hayoim shemo parshas ekev. So if you always remember that those two V'hayas go together, Makshin and Havayas LaHadadi, the Havayas stay next to each other, that's the way you're going to remember what the Shittas Rabbeinu Tam is. So Ad Kan Divrei Rabbeinu Tam. The Rishonim bother with a very, very basic fundamental question according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which really carries over not in terms of Tefillin Shel Rosh, but carries over to the extrapolation to Tefillin Shel Yad. The assumption of the Rubah, the Rishonim seems to be is that whatever the Seidah HaParshas is going to be in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, the same is going to be in the Tefillin Shel Yad. Even though it's interesting, the Gemara Menachos, which talks about the Seidah HaParshas, happens to be talking about Tefillin Shel Rosh. That's the topic the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is not distressing Tefillin Shel Yad, but the assumption of the Rishonim is that it's going to be the same. Yeah, he's the same Korei, right? He's the same Korei. We didn't even mention the other possibility, which is going to be the other two Rishitas and Rishonim. We'll get to a little bit later. So now, Lechari, you have a very serious problem. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, Mishlamo, when you write the Parshas of Tefillin Shel Rosh, so it doesn't really matter what order you're going to write the Parshas in. The order that you write the Parshas doesn't necessarily have to be the same order that the Parshas is going to be placed in, because they're four distinct Parshas. So there is a halacha when it comes to writing with tefillin and mezuzos. The Torah says, v'hayu advarim ha'eleh. So the mechilta, the drasha, that v'hayu means shelo yichtov l'mafreya. That you're not supposed to write the Parshas out of order. And the mechilta says, you have to write a mamish kesidra. Kesidra means you have to write from the first letter until the last letter. And if you, let's say this is the reason why, if you make a mistake in Tefillin Mezuzos, it's a disaster. Because if you make a mistake in Tefillin Mezuzos and you only find it after you finish writing the whole pair of Tefillin or the whole Mezuzah, so in effect you have to put the whole thing into Genizah. You can't just go back and add a little bit. That's a violation of the Dinim Shalok Kesidron. When it comes to Sefer Torah, there is no Dinim Shalok Kesidron. That would be very expensive. There would be a Dinim Shalok Kesidron. Every time you find a mistake on Sefer Torah, you throw the Sefer Torah into Sheamus. That would be a little tough. But Tefillin Mezuzos, that's not going to din. That basically mistakes in Tefillin Mezuzos are just about never correctable. Every once in a while, there are some details, hopefully as we'll talk about later on in the year, some possible corrections that can be made even within Tefillin Mezuzos. But by and large, you really can't correct within Tefillin Mezuzos because of the problem of Shalok Kesidron. Oh, that's a Rabbi Tam is a deer from the Gemara. He claims that he has a deer from the Gemara. In terms of conceptually, logically, it's very difficult to understand. Mehechetesei, that the Torah should have given us the mitzvah, the parashah is out of order. Very, very difficult to understand why. I mean, he claims that he has a raya from the Gemara to it. But the problem is not the Gemara comes in front of me. That's what, he has the lashon of the way the Gemara seems to present the Aminakari, the Smolakari. He has a shtickle raya that Rashi didn't think was such a good raya. So maybe if the Gemara comes, we'll try to show the lashon inside the Gemara itself. So again, so what comes out is a very strange thing. The assumption of the Rishonim is that whatever order you have in this Tefillin Shel Rosh is going to be the same as the Tefillin Shel Yad. Assumption number two is that the Tefillin have to be written Kisidron. Now Kisidron is clearly going to be determined by the Seidak Sivim Batorah. There's not going to be any other determination of Kisidron. So according to Rabbi Natam, Bishlob, when you write the Parashas for Tefillin Shel Rosh, so you do like this. First the Sofer writes the Parashah of Shema, then he writes the Parashah of Vayakid Yadcha. Then, even according to Rabbi Natan, he obviously writes the parasha of Shema, and then afterwards he writes the parasha of Vayom Shemoa, and then when it comes to placing the parashas in the Batim, so of course he puts the Vayom Shemoa in slot number 3, and he puts Shema in slot number 4. But Sha'enke, when it comes to writing the Tefillin Shel Yad, you have to envision the following. You have a long piece of cloth you're writing the parashas on, so the sofer starts writing. He writes Kaddish, and then he writes Vayaki V'yacha. Now, what's he going to write next? In the third box, what's he going to write? So he can't write Shema, because according to Rabbi Tam, Shema doesn't belong there. Shema belongs at the end. He can't write Vahayam Shemoa there, because that's going to be Shalom Kisidron. So what's he going to do? He has to stop, leave blank, make a cheshbon how long it takes, and then go to the end of the cloth and write Shema first, and then go back and write Vahayam Shemoa. So the Rishonim write, that's such a strange thing, but that's probably what Rabbi Tam holds. That's exactly what Rabbi Natan the Parshas held. So it's strange enough for Rabbi Natan Shita to say that the Parshas are somehow munachim in the bottom shalom kesidron haksiv b'Torah. That in and of itself is very difficult to understand why that should be so. But this is lachar even more difficult to understand, that if this carries over the Tefillin Shel Yad, in effect the halacha is requiring the sofer to write the Tefillin in such a backwards way that that's lachar the only way to get everybody happy, the only way to be yotzei the din of Rabbi Natan's Parshas, and presumably the only way to be yotzei the din of shalom kesidron. So there may be some Rishonim who question whether this is really true, which really is a Shalom Kisidron issue. We mentioned before that the Mechilta says that you have to write the Parshas Kisidron. Absolutely, Me'akev, if you leave out a letter and then you want to fill it in afterwards, so it's absolutely possible. So it's interesting to note that the Gemara never says this. The Gemara never quotes Beferish the din of Shalom Kisidron. There is no Gemara in Menachas that says, Tanur Abanan Minayin, that you have to write Tefillin Mezuzas Kisidron, Tamalom of Ahayu. It appears in the Mechilta, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Somebody once was trying to sell the idea to the Chazon Ish that, well, maybe we don't pass like this Mechilta after all. We don't pass like every Mechilta. Maybe the Gemara disagrees. Maybe there really is no din of a psul of Shalom Kisidron. So the Chazon Ish was not too happy about that suggestion. He said, Chas v'shalom, yishtak ha-davar. All the Rishonim quoted, it's a sunnah, lachem shulchan aruch, there's no yeshomim, there's no machlekes. It's not in the Gemara. Okay, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Not everything appears in the Gemara. It's in the Mechilta. The Tanoim said it. So to say that we do away with the din of Shalom Kisidron, that's not within the realm of normative halacha. However, there is a Tosfos in Maseches Menachos that throws out a possibility which the Taz picked up upon. Tosfos seems to suggest the following, that this din of Shalom Kisidron is only within a parasha itself. When you're switching from one parasha to another, then there's no halacha of Shalom Kisidron. Let's say, the Shia's mom is Shalom Kisidron, as we said. It has to be able to fit into the bottom properly. Okay. Let's just take a quick look at Mar Malcolm 4, which is really what we're up to. Concerning the other, if we get a chance at the end, we'll go back to the other Mar Malcolm. So number 4, the din that in within Tefillin and Mezuzah, everything has to be Kisidron. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the Zinuchas Mezuzah, quotes the Zinuchas Tefillin also. Zinuchas Mezuzah, he writes, Kasa Shalol HaSeder, Afilu Shachach Melichtav Os Achas Psula Ve'en Letakon. If a person forgot even one letter, so that it's a problem, you can't just go back and fix it. The Ein Tzarech Lomar Miktim Parsha LaParsha comes to Shulchan Aruch and says in Kal Vachomer that let's say you're writing a mezuzah and you wrote the Parsha of Hayom Shemoa before you wrote the Parsha of Shema. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's for sure possible. Not that if you left out a mem and then you go back to fix up the little mem. That's possible. Kal Vachomer, if you write the Parshas out of order, that's for sure possible. So not everybody agrees to that statement, that Kal Vachomer of the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz suggests that maybe the Shulchan Aruch is not correct. Maybe if you make a mistake and you go back Shloka Siddur within one parasha, that's a total disaster. But if you go out of order from one parasha to the next parasha, that's not so terrible. Why should that be? So says the Taz, gives the following mashal. There's a din Hilchos Kriya Shema. The Gemara also says, here the Gemara Taka says about Kriya Shema that you're not allowed to be covered in the Mafreya. That if you say Kriya Shema, I say Shema Yisrael, and then he starts saying Vishinatul Vanecha, Vyahafta Es, Uchsafta, Mukshartha, he gets every single word in, but he got a Mishkebab, he got a Cholent, everything's out of order. So the Mishnah says, you're not Yotze, call him a Mafreya Lo Yotze. And it's interesting, the Sifrei says, the Mafar is Vahayu Hadvarm Eilu, the same Pasuk, the same Jerusha, Vahayu, that it has to be Kisidran. So when it comes to Kriya Shema, what's the din if a person says the Parsha Vahayom Shema before the Parsha of Shema? Or he says the Parsha Vayomer and then he says Shema, then Vayom Shema. He got within each Parsha, he got everything Kisidran. He didn't mix up any Pesukim, any words. But from Parsha to Parsha, he said the Parsha is out of order. So we pass in Shulchan Aruch and it was Kriya Shema that year, I'd say. The Raya is from the Mishnah Maseches Brachos, because the Mishnah Brachos says, Lama Hikbim Parsha Shema La Parsha Vayom Shema. Why do we say one Parsha before the other? And the Mishnah gives all these very beautiful philosophical reasons. First you Mekabal Omacha Shemayim, then you Mekabal Omitzvahs, Chadonish. If this is a real din le'ikuva, then it has to be Davka Kasein Hazeh, so then what's the Mishnah telling you? These philosophical reasons. So the answer is, the Poskim says, there is no such din. The din of Kisidra means within a Parsha itself. You can't mix around within a Parsha. But to say Parsha 2 before Parsha number 1, that wouldn't be so bad. So comes the Taz and says, and he claims he has a Tozer Menachas, the man may not say this, comes the Taz and says, he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch is incorrect. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you read from one parsha to another parsha out of order, that's also a problem. Or if you write, I'm sorry, talking about writing, if you write parshas Vayom Shemo and then you write parsha Shema before it, that's going to be a problem. So the Taz, no, he doesn't think so. He thinks that the Psul Shloka Sidran is only within the parsha Gufa, not me parsha the parsha. So comes the Taz, and according to the Taz, he could solve the problem of Rabbeinu Tam. We said according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a bizarre thing. The Soif is getting ready to write the Tefillin Shel Yad, and he writes Kaddish, and then he writes V'yachid Yacha, and he's about to write V'ayom Shemo, and he realizes he can't do it because it's Shaloka Sidron. Comes to Taz and says, no problem, Nishka Ferloch, you can write V'yachid Yacha, you don't have to skip any space, and then write Shema afterwards. Aye, it's Shaloka Sidron, who cares? Shaloka Sidron from one Pasha to another Pasha is not considered to be a problem. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what it should be. That's the Parsha Sadova. So this Taz is highly questionable. Now, Halacha L'Maaseh Nuchos Tefillin Mezuzos, we don't pass like this. We pass in that you have to write everything Kesidra Mamash from beginning to the end. You can't switch from one Parsha to another. The Taz had a good Raya from Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah says that he doesn't think that the Raya is a good Raya. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says he thinks that there's a difference between Kriya Shema and Kanchas Tefillin Mezuzos. What's the difference? Says the Mishnah Berurah, let's say a person ran out of ink. He starts to write Shema for his mezuzah, and he doesn't have enough ink to write Vayom Shemoah. So he figures, you know what? Well, I have a half mezuzah, so I might as well put it up. It's better than nothing. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that's ridiculous. It's not better than nothing. The Mishnah says, afilu chasa osachas posel. If you're missing one letter from your tefillin, one letter from the mezuzahs, it's not worth it to put it on. It's not that there. It's almost kosher. It's nothing. It's zero. It's totally, completely meaningless. So Masha Einkein says the Mishnah Berurah, let's say a person doesn't know how to read all the parshas of Shema. He went to, like my daughter, she only, last year they taught her how to say V'ahavta. This year she's learning Vayom Shemoah. So if you only know V'ahavta, so the Mishnah Berurah says, he thinks he should say V'ahavta. He thinks that when it comes to Kriya Shema, each parasha is like a kiyum b'fnei atzmo. When it comes to Tefillin Mezuzah, it's one big unit, it's one entity called, the mitzvah is Hanochas Tefillin, the mitzvah is Ksivas Mezuzah. The definition of Tefillin is the four parashas. The definition of mezuzah is the two parashas. If you're missing any part of those two parashas, any part of those four parashas, so you stop wasting your time. Hashem, when it comes to Kriya Shema, so Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Samach Shemayim is an entity in and of itself, and Kabbalah Sam Mitzvah is an entity of itself, and Yetzias Mitzrayim is an entity of itself, and the guy who Nebuch doesn't know how to read Vayom Shema, let him say Vishma, let him say Vayom, let him say whatever he knows how to say, so it's Kedai for him to say. So the Mishnah Berurah says, when it comes to Kriya Shema, where each parasha is in effect a Kiyum B'fnei Atzmo, each parasha is a unique entity in and of itself. So then it makes sense that you can go parashas out of order. You can say by Yom Shemon, and you can say Shemak, say by Yom, it doesn't really matter but the Yevit. But Shein came by Tefillin, the definition of Tefillin means dollar parashas. And the dollar parashas are like one. They happen to have Psuchas and Stumas in between. They happen to be, quote unquote, different parashas. But Api Halacha, they're one unit. It's the mitzvah of Tefillin. So you view the mitzvah of Tefillin as four dollar parashas Shein Achas. It's one unit. So you can't start switching and flipping within the parashas itself. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, like the Ruba, the Ruba, the Achronim against the Taz, that Allah Lamaisa, even from one parasha to the next, they have to keep the order intact. So Lamaisa, those who write Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, in fact, are not good on this, that the Sofrim, those who write the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, should follow this, that you write Kaddish first, then you write V'yakav Yachad, then you skip a space, you write at the end, you write Shema, and then you go back to the to V'yakav Yachad. To V'yam Shema, I'm sorry. So, Kopadim, how do we paskin in Halacha? So, we have a Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What do we paskin? And the stakes are pretty high. The Gemara says, Mechlif Parsha Yosef Psulos. The Gemara says that if you make a mistake on this, so the Pasha in the Gemara is that it's Mamashim Akabi Dehevet. How should we paskin in Halacha? So, comes the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mar Makom number 5. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Sif Aleph, Seidan Achosim Bebatim. So, first he presents the two Shitas. The Rashi, the Aramba, Mismol, Aminiach, Bevayis Achitzon, V'acharav, I'm sorry, Kaddish, Mismol, Aminiach, Bevayis Achitzon, V'acharav, Ki V'acha, Bevayis Sheni, Ushma, Bevayis Shlish, V'yam Shema, Bevayis Revi, Shu, Bevayis Achitzon, Yamino. Ul Rabbeinu Tam, Bevayis Ashlishi, V'yam Shema, Bevayis Revi, Shu, Achitzon, Shema, says the Shulchan Aruch, Minag Ha'olam, Ki Rashi, V'aramba. So the Mechaber tells you that the Minag Ha'olam has become to follow Rov the Rishonim seem to be Mechriya like Rashi and the Rambam. Nevertheless, comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, days, and tells you, not so poshut, Yirei Shemayim, Yetzei Yidei Shneihem, that it's correct, the more correct thing to do, those at the high level of Yirei Shemayim, so really should try to be Yotzei both. So Yasa Shtei Zugos Tefillin, they should make for themselves two different pairs of Tefillin, and then we'll get into the details, how do you maneuver putting on both of these Tefillin, but that's the way the Mechaber leaves it. So the Ikra Dini starting with Rashi and the Rambam, that's the Minhag Olam. And as a midas chasidah, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that one should lechatchila try to wear both pairs of tefillin. Yeah. Oh, we can get to the baltos in a second. He's saying Yirei Shemayim. He's saying as a Yirei Shemayim. So we all want to be Yirei Shemayim for the ruling. So mistava, one should try to do this. So up till now, the Shulchan Aruch left us with two statements. He told us what the Ikar Adin is. Then he tells us what the Yirei Shemayim was supposed to do. So it sounds like that's all. It sounds like the Mechaber has nothing else to say about it. So now if we skip down to Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the third piece of information. Lo yasakein ela misha muchsuk umefursam b'chassidus. Says the Shulchan Aruch that even though we all try to be Yirei Shemayim, but this is a type of a lechatchila that perhaps not everybody should be necessarily doing. Says the Shulchan Aruch that perhaps this type of amidas chassidus is reserved for those individuals who are muchsuk or mefursam b'chassidus. They know that they're, here, the joke always goes, here the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a chassid with a capital C, it's not talking about, people read it and say, yeah, the chassidim, yeah, that's exactly what the Mechavi came from Baal Shem Tov. The Mechavi meant the person who is mamish known to be mocked, but in every single, every single hiddur, so such an individual should put on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. The Mechavi leaves us in effect with three different levels. He tells you what he thinks the Ikra Din is, the Minhag Ha'olam like Rashi the Rambam. Then he starts out by telling you, well, Yirei Shemayim, it's a good idea. So it sounds like everyone, we all ask for Yirei Shemayim, we all think we strive for Yirei Shemayim. So we're all about to buy ourselves pure for Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Then comes Rabbeinu Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel and says, not so fair, you have to be Muchsuk Mefors and Mechassidus before you go ahead and put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. These are the three different permutations, these are the levels in Halacha that the Mechaber is presenting for us. There is a very basic question before we see as to those who want to follow this idea of putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, how practically speaking to do it. There is a very basic question in terms of, at the beginning of the shiur we mentioned that there are really four different opinions in the Rishonim as to how the Seder of Parshas is supposed to be. We've only been spending the time in Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam because those are the foremost opinions in the Rishonim. But Lamai said there were two other opinions. And the two other opinions are really very simple. Just flip everything around. Remember we started out by saying that you can determine the order of the Parshas either from the vantage point of the Korei or from the vantage point of the Meniach. So both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam were working with the vantage point of the Korei, but there are other Rishonim that said no. That whatever the Gemara said, whatever those Rishonim said, just put it in a mirror and flip everything around. So those were what's called the Ravid Tefillin and the Shemusha Rabbah Tefillin. The Ravid was the flip of Rabbeinu Tam, And the Shemusha Rabba was a flip of Rashi. Shemusha Rabba is a fascinating sefer. It was written at some time in the period of the Gaonim. It's all about like the practical speaking, how to make tefillin. But not exactly sure who wrote it. The Rishonim all quoted it. It made its way into Shulchan Aruch and many different things. There are a few things in it that are shaloka halacha that we have not accepted la halacha. It was like some kind of a kitzur book at the time, like an article how to make tefillin or something at the time. And we're not sure exactly who it was ascribed to, but it has some interesting things in it. So one of the things that Shemusha Rabba happens to be assuming was, in effect, Rashi Shita backwards. So the question was posed, how come when we speak about being machmir for the different Rishonim Shitas, this Midas Chasidus that the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Maram Rutenberg and the Rosh, who had this Midas Chasidus idea, so how come we don't find anybody in today's world who's putting on Raiva Tefillin? We don't find anybody putting on Shemusha Rabba Tefillin? Very, very strange. The fact that he asked the Vilna Gaon this question, how come the Vilna Gaon held that you don't have to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? So the Vilna Gaon responded, because if you put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, then you have to put on Raiva Tefillin and Shemusha Rabba Tefillin. And then there were other machloks within the Rishonim about when the Pashas have to stand up or lie down. We'll talk about them, hopefully, all the machloks as we go on through the course of the year. So the Gra made the Cheshbin that if you, then you have to times each permutation by the other Shita, so it came up with 64 different permutations of Kasha Tefillin. So the Gros says, since we don't find that anybody puts on 64 pairs of Tefillin, so Mehechatesh you should put on two. I mean, why is two any better than any better chance than 64? So the Gros said, we paskin that Rashi Shita is the correct Shita. That's what we paskin. Allah was it was Nimna Vagam when the days were shown that we paskin like Rashi. And finished, that's the end of the discussion. So others suggested a different chap. Others suggested that perhaps the reason why nobody in the last 1,000 years has put on Raiva Tefillin or Shemusha Rabba Tefillin is for the following reason. The Reb Chaim quotes this idea. Reb Chaim in his Chiddushim and Shas has the following interesting yisod. So we'll talk about this a little bit next week when we talk about the Batim. So we know, of course, that when you put on Tefillin, so the Ma'avarta, the part of the Tefillin where the Ritzuas goes through, is supposed to face towards your body. So on the Tefillin Shel Yad, that of course faces towards you, and the Tefillin Shel Rosh also, that's closer to you, the Ma'avarta, the part where the Ritzuas goes through. So that's not l'ikuva. That's not ma'akeh b'di'evet. That's not l'chatchila. That's what the post can say. Sometimes if you're stuck with a lefty tefillin, so in theory you can just flip it around and then it'll be going in the right direction. So in theory you could take the tefillin and put them on in effect backwards, where the mavart is facing away from you, or put it on the rosh also. It's going to be a little tough to maneuver the rituals with that. But in theory you could do that. You could have the mavart facing away from you, and that would also be kasha b'di'evet. So says Reb Chaim, if you think about it, here you just have to have a little, you know, 30 dimensions in your mind. Rashi and Shemusha Rabba Tefillin are really the same thing, just that the parashas are flipped around. So just make believe that the Mavarta is in the wrong place. So according to, when you put on Rashi Tefillin, you're also putting on Shemusha Rabba Tefillin, you're just having the Mavarta backwards. When you put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, you're also putting on Raiva Tefillin, you're just having the Mavarta backwards. That's where Chaim saved us a few couple of hundreds of thousands of dollars that you don't have to make. Those who want to buy a bit of town tefillin, that's okay. But nobody has to put on Raiva and Shemusha Rabba Tefillin because b'di'evet yichab, based on the fact that you're just wearing a backwards mavarta. So come to Shulchan Aruch, we're back to the Maamar Mochim, we said before in 5, it's a base, where the Mechaber told you this Midas Chasidus, Yirei Shemayim, supposed to try to wear a both. So come to Shulchan Aruch and tries to tell you, practically speaking, how you're supposed to go about in doing that. So come to Shulchan Aruch and says like this, Yirei Shemayim, and he should wear both of them at the same time. And he should have the following lamdash kavana. That pair of tefillin, which is kosher, I'm yaitse the mitzvah of tefillin with. And the other straps that I have, the other batim, the other bias that I have in my arm and on my head at the same time. Garnish. I'm wearing have leather straps which are on me. I have shoestrings which are wrapped around my arm. Those are not really tefillin. So this solves any potential baltosif problems, any other possible problems. So comes to Shulchan Aruch and says that should be a kavanah that I'm only being yelty with the kosher tefillin and the other tefillin are not. And says to Shulchan Aruch, in case you're wondering, how in the world are you going to fit, practically speaking, two pairs of tefillin on your arm and two pairs of tefillin on your head at the same time? Says the Mechaber, that should not pose a problem. Because there is physically room in the head to place two pairs of tefillin, and even though we're going to see hopefully in the weeks coming up where precisely the makom hanochas tefillin is, Ramaisa, there is enough room to have two kosher pairs of tefillin in that limited area on the head. The chaim bezroa, and the same is true on the arm. Now we, huh? Oh, we're going to see. Well, you're putting it on at the same time, so it's not so terrible. It's not such a hefty problem. So the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that there is physical room, assuming that the tefillin are significantly smaller. We're going to see as we go on, hopefully enough tefillin, that the minimum shiur for tefillin is much, much smaller than the tefillin that we have today. The tefillin, technically speaking, the Gaon right after the beis etzbos, my beis etzbos, the bottom, it's nothing, it's zero. It's not as yet, the little tiny tefillin are usually the shvach appears in tefillin, unless they're really unbelievably extensive ones, which make gorgeous parshas, which are tiny, those are already la'ilu. But usually the bigger the, not usually the bigger, but usually the standard size tefillin that most of us wear, so those are significantly bigger than the pairs of tefillin that were worn in the days of the Gaon and that was in the days of the Gemara. So when the Rishonim write, Makom Yesh Barosh and Nichtes tefillin, so don't try to experiment with your own tefillin. You're not going to find, there is no room in our Makom tefillin to put on. Our tefillin are usually approximately 4 etzbos or so 4 etzbos is twice the size of the tefillin that the Gaon were talking about. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, let's say you can't pull the stunt, let's say your tefillin are a little bit big, your arms, you try to give him a bar mitzvah bachar, he can barely fit one pair of tefillin on his arm, so there's no room. So what do you do? So says the Shulchan Aruch, then you can do the next best thing. So first you put on one pair, take him off, that solves the bracha problem. And others say, now if you can't put them both on at the same time, you should wear Rashi's tefillin for the bracha and wear Rashi's tefillin for Kriya Shema and for tefillin, because that's what we really pass it like. Etc. And then after davening, sometime you put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So really the Shulchan Aruch is telling us three different options of how to be yotze both shittas. Either to wear them both at the same time, that's the best option, or to do them one after another. Put one on, one off, next one on, next one off. That solves the brachas issue. And the third possibility is to wear Rashi for the duration of davening, and then at the very end is to put on Rabbeinu Tam, Liyesus A. So that, of course, we know, the Ruba, the individuals, Bezman Azeh, who wear, within that meal, the people who are wearing Rabbeinu Tam, fill in, take this third option. Some of you may have seen it, I've seen it in Eretz Yisrael, you see once in a while, I have seen people with two pairs of tefillin on at the same time. You see, sometimes with the Sfaradim, you see these tiny, tiny pairs of tefillin, so that's what they're doing. They're doing the first option, which is really the lechatchila option within the trying to be yotze both the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. The assumption of this entire statement of the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Mechaber presented it, that I'm having in mind that the pair that's really emes tefillin, so that I'm being yotze the mitzvah with. The pair that's not the emes tefillin, so that's gornish. That's just that is just rituos b'yama. So that lashon that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting seems to be quite clear that he's assuming that one pair is kosher and one pair is posel. That means we're not really sure which is which. We think we're sure. We hope we're sure. We hope Rashi is right. But in the back of our minds, maybe we're wrong. So therefore, we want to put on the second pair of the yeses a's. But we are willing to make that statement that one is kosher and one is posel. So the Shulchan Aruch says it even more befeirish. Going in Sif Dalid, Shulchan Aruch says lo yaniach beiz azugos bekis echad. You're not permitted to leave the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin in the same tefillin bag. It's a plastic, they can be in, but the same velvet bag they can't be in. Because the halacha is that you're not permitted to use a tefillin bag for anything which is not tefillin. You're not allowed to leave money in your tefillin bag. According to most posts, you're not really even supposed to put your sitter into your tefillin bag in the plastic, you can, but in the tefillin bag itself, you're not supposed to. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, there was someone who had the minhag to put it in, so it's ke'ilu, they made it tonight. Different possible kulas. But mikra din, nothing really is supposed to be inside the tefillin bag itself except for the tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that those who want to wear Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, lamaisa, one pair is kosher, one pair is posel. So the tefillin bag has kedusha, and now you're putting something which is not kosher tefillin in the tefillin bag. That's a problem. That's a violation of the isser of kedusha sa'a tefillin bag. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to do that. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to be careful not to put them in together. Not only do you have to be careful not to put them in together, you have to be careful not to switch bags. Because if you have a bag that was the Rashi bag, and that's the way we really pass it, and then if tomorrow, by mistake, you put the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin in that bag, so you're in violation of the din of Kedushas, the Tashmisha Shal tefillin. So you're violating the din of using the Kishal tefillin for something which does not have Kedushas tefillin. So the whole take of the Mechaber, almost from beginning to end, is working with this assumption that it's either or, that according to Rashi, so Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin are mamish psulim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's tefillin are mamish psulim. There is no room for compromise. And the truth is that that's the pashas in the Gemara. If you go back all the way, we'll go back to the first Maar Makom. So we'll read that first Maar Makom, which saw the whole ball rolling, Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzat Sidran, Kadosh Li, Vayaki Viacha, Miyamin, Shema, Vayam, Shema, Mismol.
Fatanya Ibcha, we have a bright that says the opposite. Amrabai Lakasha Kanya Mino Shakore, Kanya Mino Shamaniach, Bakura Kore Kasidrin. You can imagine why there's so much ambiguity in how to understand what in the world that means. Very, very unclear. But with the statement that we want to focus is on Amrav Khanal Amarav, Hikhlif Parsha Sepsulos. So the Gemara couldn't have said it any more beferish that if you flip the parshas around, if you have the parsha in the wrong body, so the entire period's form is possible, parsha is possible in the Torah. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch doesn't surprise us that he's telling us that according to Rashi, Rabbi Natan is still an apostle and vice versa, and therefore you have to make this tonight that I'm only being yotzei with the kosher period, the apostle period is Ritzos B'Yama. That's why the Mechaber says you have to be careful not to put him in the same bag, and you can't even put him in the same bag in two different days. The Mechaber is going with a straight sack of Pidei Gemara of Hichli Parsha Se'apsulos. So notwithstanding the statement of the Shulchan Aruch, there are other poskim who threw into question whether this is really true. This is really a halachic / machshava problem, which poskim are very, very bothered with this phenomena of Rashi and Ben Adam Tefillin. It's very difficult to understand how such a machlokes came about. And we spoke about these types of machlokes, like the Moshlim Tekiya Shofar. There was a machlokes about what the shvarim sounds like. Is it a shvarim? Is it a true? Is it a shvarim trua? So there was a machlokes that we showed him. What do you do with the fact that on the one hand, we seem to have three different opinions what the truah is. On the other hand, what did they do last year? Wasn't everybody blowing shofar since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? So what? How many years did they have Rosh Hashanah Chalosh B'Shabbos in a row like we've had? I mean, nobody remembered what a truah sounds like. So you have really two different approaches in the Rishonim how to solve these types of problems. So the Rishonim will say, yeah, in Achanami, there was a machlokes. What happened? So you explain away there were persecutions, maybe Taka they didn't blow shofar for many years, the Romans were made gazeras against shofar. Taka really honest, the goodness forgot, and there were three different shitas as to what the correct true is, and therefore Nebuch, he has to say, he's just trying to make everybody happy. That's the way the Rambam seems to say, Tais seems to say in Hilchos Tekiyah Shofar. Then you have Rav Haigon had a whole different shot. Rav Haigon writes, there was never a machlokes, they were all right. The only reason why we do all three is to make everybody happy, but in the Ikra Din you could be yotzei with any of them, they're all considered to be kosher. So you have that same type of machlokes that you find in Tekiyah Shofar, you have its own also. The simple pshat in the Gemara and the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch is that there was taka a machlokes. So what happened? What happened last year? What happened to my father's tefillin, to my grandma? Takasha, taka kasha. They didn't open up tefillin all that often in the days of the Gemara. The Gemara says that tefillin and shichem bediga olamis, that you check your tefillin the first time and then close them up and don't look at them for 50 years. So the Gemara tells about one of the Tanoim said he has the tefillin, the Arusha from his grandfather. It hasn't been checked in 100 years. This man has said we check the tefillin all the time because of the ink and the cloth, different things, the problems that we have in our writing of the Parashiyos. But Mikra didn't. They didn't look at the tefillin that much. So there were Rishonim who seemed to say that, yeah, there was Taka Machlokes in Achanami. It was really an honest, there was Machlokes. What was the correct Parashiyos supposed to be? What did the Torah mean? But it says to put in these Parashiyos in this way. And there were other posts who said, no, it can't be. It's not Shaykh. There should have been such a machlokes that Rashi's full an apostle according to Ben Tam, Ben Tam's full an apostle according to Rashi. So there were a group of posts who had the same type of pismon in slightly different ways, said, no, the emes lamito is that really all the tefillin are kosher. Rashi's tefillin are taka kosher according to Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin are kosher according to Rashi. So the Aruch HaShulchan, who was not known for his Hasidish Kabbalah, it wasn't exactly a Makubo, he was a Rav in Litta. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in the Siman about Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, he writes that he's going to write about something which is Shalom Kedarki Lichtov, this is not his style at all. He says, I'm going to write a little bit about the Olam HaTalyonim. I'm ready to get excited. So he writes in Siman Lamedal, in the Aruch HaShulchan, I didn't put it on the Mar Mekomis, but it's in the Olam HaTalyonim. If you want to take a look, it's fascinating. At the end of Siman Lamedal, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he thinks that the Emes Lamito is that both pairs of tefillin are acceptable. And then he goes on to explain to you why he thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu two distinct orders of parashas. And one set of parshas is correct for Olam Hazeh, where the world is noyig now, and the next set of parshas are going to be Yemos HaMashiach, that the parshas are going to be flipped around in Yemos HaMashiach. This is part of a very global, general question about how much halach is going to change Yemos HaMashiach. Not. There are statements in Kabbalah about Pasuk Beishamay in Yemos HaMashiach. A lot of strange things that we don't exactly understand. Some people say they're apocryphal, others say that they're true, but really not for now. But the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this idea that la'asid lavo, so the order of the parshas is going to be like Rabbeinu Tam, that the emes is both pairs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that that both of them are kosher because of tefillin. It's just that the zman hazeh, the way the world is now, so the more correct thing to do is supposed to be the order of Rashi. The asad lavo is supposed to be the other way around. What does that do with the asad lavo? So he goes on to a little bit of a discussion of the Kabbalah about what's the significance of the havayas lahadadi. Why do you have ayah kiviyacha dafka next to ayam shemogin? I'm not a makubal. I'm not quite 40 yet, so I can't say that I understand exactly what he's talking about. But Api Kabbalah, which is the Mahalak that there are a lot of other posts will say also, that really the Eves Lamita is that both pairs of tefillin are really kosher. So if both pairs of tefillin are really kosher, so then a lot of these halachas don't seem to be true. What the Mechaber says, you can't put them in the same bag. Why not? The fact that the Mechaber says you have to have kavanah, that one pair is real tefillin, the other pair is not tefillin, it's not really true. That they're both really kosher pairs of tefillin. The problem with all these Mahalakim, Api Kabbalah, is that they really seem to fly in the face of what the Gemara says. The Gemara does say, Hichlet Parsha Sep Sulos, so it's hard to understand what that's all about. Right. So then you have to understand why Api Kabbalah is an Indian dafka to wear a benetam also. So I hope upon him with all the dust settles. The basic halacha is quite clear that we all know. The basic halacha is, of course, like Rashi and the Rambam, that appears to be with the later poskim, all the later Rishonim accepted in the days of Shulchan Aruch onwards. So it's been Nimna V'Gomer already. We have to follow Kol Tarku V'Acharam Mahatas. We always follow Rov. So we follow Rov there also. So the Rub, the Rishonim poskim against the Rabbeinu Tam. Like Rashi and the Rambam, that's the Minhag HaOlam, that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that's of course the way we Paskin. So those individuals will only wear Rashi tefillin, so that's the standard Tzach for all of Klal Yisrael. Then you have this issue that the Mechaber says, the notion that Lechatchila Yirei Shemayim should try to wear both, and then the Shulchan Aruch limits it by saying, Mishtem Muchzak Meforsim Mechasidim. So that's the question, where do you draw that line? So the Rech HaShulchan writes that stipulation of the Shulchan Aruch of Misha Muchzak and Meforsim Bechasidus, that was in the olden days when it was taught by something which is not a Fiyachide Skula. It's not as Ezra, Hashulchan says, every Tom, Dick, and Harry wears a Ben Atam Tefillin. So he says, so you don't have to be so Muchzak anymore, so you're the same as everybody else. So the Hashulchan says, even if a regular person wants to wear a Ben Atam Tefillin, that's okay. There those who want to wear a Ben Atam Tefillin, wear it. Those who don't want to wear a Ben Atam Tefillin, don't wear it. Eilav Eilav Diver Lokim Chaim, in the sense of the different Nihugim. But in terms of the absolute Psach Halach, so Kuliyam Lotzligi, that the Iker Adin is that we Paskin like Rashi. And again, according to the simple Pshat, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, it's Rashi in contrast to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin are really in effect puzzle, whereas according to other types of sources, there are Chashulchan and other Sifrei Kabbalah who try to maintain that, no, that there is some degree of kashrus even in the world of Halacha within the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin.
Aren't there those that would question this idea of negative kavana, like we have in general?
Yeah, whether that does anything. Yeah.